This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Exactly. So now we have on the phone our next guest. We've got Rachel Beasley, who's a director and violinist of the Melbourne. The Recital Centre. So she's going to be doing a Bach piece.
Who in the hell is Bach? Who's this guy?
We'll have to talk to Rachel about that and see whether we get the lowdown of who this person is. Welcome to the show, Rachel.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be here. Thank you, Camille and David. It's a real pleasure to be here to talk about Bach.
Well, it's our pleasure. But before we talk about him and how dare he take the lead on this topic, let's talk about you. Who are you?
Well, I am Melbourne-based, Melbourne-born and bred, and I'm a violinist, as you said, and a director. I'm co-artistic director of the Australian Romantic and Classical Orchestra, and I have a very diverse freelance career, normally involving quite a lot of work in Europe, but currently based very much firmly in Melbourne.
Right.
And wonderful that we have the opportunities to perform at the Melbourne Recital Centre now that the venues are opening back up again. It's actually, you know, a really exciting time for us to be able to get back on stage.
Yeah.
But my sort of past history with Bach has been very long and, very inspiring. I don't think everyone sort of realises how much of Bach's music influenced the rest of Western music.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
You know, I think even listening to your tracks today, I love the music you're putting on. You know, anything that's, you know, it's got that strong harmonic basis, you know, it's a really, he was at really the cornerstone of the Baroque and classical period, and I spent a lot of my time studying in Europe and coming to terms with the whole output of Bach's work. I even recorded the complete cantatas of Bach. They're the works with the voice and instrumental ensembles. And yeah, I just have a very close relationship to how he uses the instruments, and he makes the instruments really come alive. So these programs that we're presenting are very instrumentally based.
Yeah.
For these two programs.
But over the years, Bach music has shown up in so many different shapes and forms. I remember there was an album out, and I'm talking about 40-odd years ago, and it was called Switched on Bach, and it was actually the Moog synthesizer playing all Bach's music. And it was fantastic. I loved it in my record collection.
Absolutely. And for me, the Swingle Singers were absolutely
yes.
The epitome of finding actually the groove and the energy of Bach at a time when it was seen as sort of very serious music. And I really love listening to actually historic recordings from the beginning of the 20th century and the late 19th century, where you can hear artists performing Bach. And it's curious to see how styles have changed and how our attitudes towards the performance of Bach have changed. And that's the fun part about being a historically informed performance specialist, that I get to explore all of those things and kind of find unique ways to perform it. And actually what you said about using different instruments, we're going to perform two programs, one which is actually using contemporary instruments. So we've got a percussion instruments and using modern string instruments. And then the second program is going to be on Baroque instruments, so from the period when Bach was composing. So right. I think it's valid to perform Bach on whatever instruments you want to.
Yeah. So Rachel, where was he from? And you're like, what was actually happening? Why was he so groundbreaking at that moment in time?
Well, yes, he lived 1685 to 1750, and he was a German composer. And he was really from a tradition where the heritage of the family was very important. So you did what your family did. And consequently, his sons also became composers, also became performing musicians, and so that he came from that very strong heritage. He was also very stubborn and very, very sure of what he was doing, and, you know, came to arguments with some of the princes, but he always knew that what he wanted to be composing and the reason for it. He was very much in the service of the church, and a lot of his music very much reflects that element. But it's at the time when Baroque music is about gestures and about rhetoric, so it's almost like talking with music. He enables you to understand the emotional intention of the music, even when there are no words. And I really enjoy exploring that part of it. But
all right. Well, tell us about the night that you're doing, which is Wednesday, the 31st of March, at the Recital Centre, as we said. What's on the program for that night?
Well, actually, it's a two-part series. So we have our first concert on Wednesday, the 10th of March.
Right.
Sneaking that one in. And that's also at the Elizabeth Murdoch Hall in the Melbourne Recital Centre. So it's two concerts, and it's like coming to two acts of a play, really. So I think the sense of reflection and the sense of peacefulness that you will find in that first program on the 10th of March, and it's called Music for Reflection, then has its counterpart in the concert on the 31st of March, which is Music for Celebration.
Right.
And that's where we perform the violin concerto, the double violin concerto, which is a very, very famously composed and performed piece for two violins and ensemble, and then another concerto for three violins, which is actually a reconstruction of a work that Bach, we knew that he wrote it, sort of rewrote the work for harpsichords, but there is no extant manuscript of the original work, so it's been reconstructed. So I really enjoyed that too, that you can go back and sort of, you know, it's like sort of digging around and finding some new notes. So there'll be two programs. They're both an hour long, and they're both in the beautiful acoustics of the Melbourne Recital Centre. So it's a really kind of immersive experience. I kind of came up with the idea for these two programs during lockdown, because my only form of kind of release from that world was finally when the swimming pools were opened up again. And I really just loved looking at the water and seeing the reflection in the water and seeing the water moving.
Okay.
And actually having that feeling, that sense of space and freedom that you have in a pool.
Mm.
And I wanted my audience to experience that when they come into the concert hall, that they're sort of immersed in the sound. So we've got works by Ross Edwards. We've got works by three Melbourne-based composers, Charles McInnes, Katie Abbott, and Robert Cossum. And these are going to be juxtaposed with the works for solo instruments, so solo cello, solo violin.
Mm. Now, tell us why is it so important that classical music is so important in Melbourne at the Melbourne Recital Centre and at the Arts Centre when the Arts Centre reopens, and of course our wonderful symphony orchestras around Australia and around the world. I just find that when I go to a classical concert, it takes me to another time, another era, and I'm experiencing something that I don't experience in any other time and another situation. So, you know, a lot of people think, oh, it's a bit stuffy, it's classical music, but it's not, is it? It's fresh, it's new every time it's being played.
Absolutely, and I think especially at the moment, Australia is ahead of the rest of the world in what we can do. I mean, my colleagues in Europe, there is no live audience there at the moment. And so I think it's really our time to take the initiative to go back into the concert halls to experience that, that live sensation, which, you know, I think we all put on music when we want to feel emotions, when we want to understand things, or when we want to relax. You know, it's also a form of entertainment. And nothing really replaces being in an environment where that music is being made live.
Yep.
And I think audiences really can sort of contribute to that renewal, which we will hopefully have in the art scene. And I think it's really important that everyone recognises the importance of the audience. It's the other element that makes it live.
Yep.
You know, and to be honest, as a musician going through what we've been through, the silence has been really quite devastating.
Yeah.
And knowing that the concert halls have been silent, it's like we've been in space. There's no resistance. Mm. There's no gravity. Mm. And we need that audience back to have that groundedness and to be connected again.
Yeah, I totally agree with you there. You know, like I've actually seen some online concerts, and you know, it's just not the same, and you can really sense that the orchestra or the players are, you know, like they're there and they're loving it and because they're playing, but it's so different that all of a sudden, you know, like the somebody will cough or there's applause, a real applause at the end of a piece. You know, like they're all the things you must hunger for as a performer.
Yes. Well, except that no one will cough in concerts anymore. So
no, true.
That's
true.
A win-win for us.
Yeah, especially sneeze. If you sneeze, the whole place would run for the hills.
No, but I think the thing is that the concert halls have made such an effort to make really beautifully clean environments for audiences to feel very comfortable and to feel very safe. And we do shortened programs, so there's no intervals, so there's no space for people to congregate. It's just it's very, very civilized approach to create that feeling of confidence also in being a space with other people. But I think as soon as you're in that space, you really recognize what it gives to you. And I think going back to your question about what is classical music and especially Baroque music, it's really that communication that we get from performing this music. It's imaginative. It has lots of, you know, sort of like the people on stage are having a conversation, especially with these concertos.
Yep.
You're really drawn into the storyline, but you're allowed to sort of make up your own story. You know, you're not being forced. It's not like a film where you're like, oh, that's the story,
yep,
and I'm following it,
yep,
and everyone.
Yeah,
you know,
well, it's like a painting.
You get to be creative.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, it's like a painting where we all see it in a different light when we look at it. And yes, you're so right. That's what music's like. We take different things away from it.
Yeah. And Rachel, yes, I was going to ask you, I'm assuming this is your first sort of performance back live again after the shutdowns and everything else. And so was there ever any thought of any other, I suppose, composer or works besides Bach? I mean, like, you know, you obviously love Bach. I can tell, in Baroque. And so, I mean, is it, you know, was that your go-to? You know, like, because this is, or was it things that happened, like you say, when you were reflecting? You know, because I noticed the first event is called Music of Reflection. So, you know, was that meant to be the way that, you know, you wanted to present it after your first time back?
I think especially for the Melbourne Recital Centre, this was a unique opportunity to program that. I've played and curated two other programs for the Melbourne Recital Centre, so this is sort of a following up series of Bach that we present every year, and it also connects with the education element that the Melbourne Recital Centre has with their competition, the Bach competition for young artists, and I've been on the jury for that as well, and often the young artist who wins that event then comes and performs in these concerts.
Right.
That's not happening this particular year, but that it has happened in previous years.
Yeah.
So my role is quite diverse. It isn't actually the first concert. We just had some performances with my orchestra, the Australian Romantic and Classical Orchestra, where we were performing works by Benjamin Britten and Tchaikovsky and Max Brook. So yep. I have quite a diverse range of repertoire. I've also been performing at Tempo Rubato,
yep,
which is a fantastic Melbourne venue where we played Brahms and Schubert.
Yeah.
And in fact, even last night I played for the 3MBS Haydn Marathon. So there are events taking place, but each one feels like a milestone, and it feels like a step in the right direction, and a chance. It's almost like an enlightenment, a period of enlightenment of us coming back from this period of silence.
All right, Rachel, I'm going to ask you something that is the worst thing that anyone's going to ask you. Do you have a favourite composer? And no fluffing around here. It's got to be cut and dry. One. I'm asking for one here.
Cut and dry. It's whatever I'm playing.
Oh, come on. Oh, that's so dramatic. You're wimped out.
It literally has to be, because you have to be in love with whatever you're performing, because otherwise you're not giving it 100%. So you have to say, it's Bach. That's exactly what I do. And look, we're celebrating his birthday on the 31st of March.
Yes, of course.
That's a really important thing. I mean, last year Beethoven suffered a little bit because we were meant to be celebrating that year, and there wasn't as much opportunity as there was planned. But this time, I think it's a wonderful coincidence that we can celebrate.
Rachel, I wanted to ask you is, now, David and I were talking about, now with all this talk about Bach, we thought we should, you know, we wanted to play a Bach track, your piece, and being as uninformed as I am, I have picked one, which is the Cello Suite Number 1 by Rostropovich. And is there any sort of commentary that you can provide to, you know, sort of beef up my choice of music on that's coming up after this interview?
Well, this is a perfect choice. I mean, yeah, Josephine Baines will be performing solo Bach in the first program, Music for Reflection. And as I noticed, we also have the percussionist Robert Cossin from the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra will be performing solo Bach, also on the marimba. So each time we can perform these solo pieces, it's really about the individual and what the expression that they can give to that music. Okay. So Rostropovich gives his expression of his time, of what he finds in the music of Bach, and you know, there's always so much to learn from all of these performances and recordings. So brilliant! I look forward to listening to it.
No problems. We'll be playing that straight after it now. So thank you so much for chatting with us, Rachel, and all the best with the performance that you have coming up.
Thank you. I'll hopefully see you all at the Melbourne Recital Centre on the 10th and 31st.
Yeah, and I'm wearing my Beethoven shirt. I'm wearing my Beethoven shirt.
Oh, you have to post a picture of it. We'll have to do some Bach's birthday. We'll have some birthday cakes to celebrate on the 31st.
Thank
you so much.
Thanks so much. We've been talking to Rachel Beasley here on Joy 94.9 Sunday Arts Magazine.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.